Welcome to the Beamsville Church of Christ video ministry. Services are presented on YouTube, Facebook, and our website 1 week following recording. This week's message is titled, Comforting the Confronted and Confronting the Comfortable. Thank you to Rhonda, Don, Paul, and Ed for being part of this video. The scripture reading is Matthew 9, 27-34. As Jesus went on from there, two blind men followed him, calling out, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." When he had gone indoors, the blind men came to him, and he asked them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" "Yes, Lord," they replied. Then he touched their eyes and said, "According to your faith, let it be done to you," and their sight was restored. Jesus warned them sternly, "See that no one knows about this." But they went out and spread the news about him all over that region. While they were going out, a man who was demon-possessed and could not talk was brought to Jesus. And when the demon was driven out, the man who had been mute spoke. The crowd was amazed and said, "Nothing like this has ever been seen in Israel." But the Pharisees said, "It is by the prince of demons that he drives out demons."
Good morning and welcome to those of you who are here and welcome to those of you who are with us online today. And we're so glad that you're part of us. I think we're going to start with some announcements. Happy birthday, John. John, are you going to tell us how old you are? You're 76. Well, happy birthday. And happy birthday to Julie and Alan, who are going to start coming next Sunday. That little group will all have been vaccinated for 2 weeks, and they're feeling like they can start coming again. So we're looking forward to having that little group with us. Daniel and Talen are in need of gently used household goods, including appliances. Good luck with that. We decided we might buy a new appliance this week, and we were told that we'd have to wait for over a year. But anyway, they need that to help set up their new home in August. And Jeff and Jan are the people to talk to. Jeff and Jan are doing an awful lot for Daniel and Helen, and we so appreciate them. If you can help with the cleaning and the painting at Daniel and Helen's new house, well, then you're talking to Jeff again or Adam. We're going to pray for Jim and for Gloria, and we're going to have an announcement to give you more details about that later on. I will lead us in prayer before we carry on. Thank you, God, so much that we can be here and that we can worship, and thank you for all the blessings that you give us, and thank you that it looks like this COVID is coming to an end, and we thank you for all the things that it has taught us and the lessons that we have learned about being still and knowing that you are God. And we pray that we will worship you in spirit and that we will worship you in truth and that we will benefit from the time that we've spent here. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, everyone. Am I the only gentleman that got the email that we're all supposed to wear suits today? So when you see someone wearing a suit that hasn't worn a suit in a long time, it's one thing or the other, right? You're going to do a wedding or you're going to do a funeral. Not both. So I have an activity to do right after service at noon today in Jordan. So if I have to move out earlier than expected, that's the reason why. I want to spend just a little bit of time talking about the uniqueness of Jesus, that he had a way of comforting the confronted. Over the years, churches worldwide have to make decisions about a variety of things. Over the years, the culture within our churches of Christ, it's changed a lot over different times, and each congregation has its own unique way of dealing with things. And I love our congregation for being open to so many different changes, where probably back in the 40s and the 50s and maybe even in the 60s, that was just kind of, you just didn't do it. There was just a culture that we followed, and that's all there was to it. So when Jesus came ministering, he was beginning to change the culture And that was not easy, especially when it was, quotation, religious culture. Pharisees and Sadducees had a way of worship, had a way of understanding Old Testament scripture. And Jesus came along, who is the Word, and shared things that wasn't always welcome. He had a way, though, of comforting people who were being confronted. Now, when you read the New Testament, you find many, many times when Sadducees and Pharisees and zealots were very, very critical of other people who didn't think the way they did. That this is the way and the only way that you can worship. This is the way and the only way that you can live your life. This is the way and the only kind of food that you can eat, and so forth and so on. So there was a culture that just kind of monitored everyone's life. And Jesus comes along, and it's a breath. He is a breath of fresh air. He is God incarnate who comes to live with us. That was true 2,000 years ago. It's true today. He lives in our hearts by his Holy Spirit. Isn't that right? So sometimes when we read scripture, we can read it historically, which is good, and we can read it culturally, which is good. But we also need to put ourselves in people's shoes of that time. So let me just share a couple of thoughts today from scripture. In Matthew chapter 9, it says this: when Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless. They were like sheep without a shepherd. And so Jesus comes in and he introduces something different. Jesus had a way of comforting those people who were being confronted muscularly, religiously. And so I just want to read a couple of scriptures that would remind us of all of this. The first scripture I'd like to notice is Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7, 31 through 37. Any of these scriptures that I'm going to read today, you probably know them very well. But as far as I'm concerned, when we're reading the scriptures, it's not just intellectually, it's trying to put yourself in the story. What would you do if you were eavesdropping, if you will, or this event took place and you're hearing something, you're seeing something? How would you feel about this? So in Mark chapter 7, 31 through 37, then Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre and went through Sidon down to the Sea of Galilee and into the region of the Decapolis. He's journeying. He's traveling. There were some people brought to him a man who was deaf and could hardly talk, and they begged him to place his hand on the man. The emotion is powerful. Jesus took him away. He took him aside, away from the crowd. And Jesus put his fingers into the man's ears. And then this, which sounds so strange, then Jesus spit. Have you ever thought of Jesus spitting? Jesus spit and touched the man's tongue. Yuck. He looked up to heaven and with a deep sigh, said to the man, and I don't know how to pronounce these words, epipatha, which means be opened. At this, the man's ears were opened, his tongue was loosened, and he began to speak plainly. Imagine being there. And then Jesus did something unique that you'll find in the book of Mark. It's called the Messianic Secret. All throughout Mark, Jesus will say something or do something and then immediately tell people, don't tell anyone about this. Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone. But the more he did so, what do you think about human nature? The more he was told them not to speak about it, what do you think they did? They couldn't stop. They couldn't stop speaking about it. They just shared it. People were overwhelmed and amazed. He's done everything well, they said. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. One of the reasons why Mark is really the only one that does this in the Gospels, have Jesus saying, don't tell anyone about this. The messianic secret was this. Jesus didn't come simply to heal. I'm not minimizing healing. He didn't just come as some kind of circus show. Watch what I can do. No, he came to say, God loves everyone. And the Messiah that we've been waiting for all our life is now here. And the Messiah is demonstrating who God is and how God wants us to live. He wants us to have good health. He wants us to be strong in our prayer life. He wants us to be reaching out to others. This messianic secret is constantly throughout where Jesus is saying, don't concentrate only on this event. Understand who God is. Jesus had a way of comforting the confronted. Let me share with you another scripture. This is found in Luke chapter 7 this time. Luke chapter 7, beginning in verse 11. Soon afterward, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. As he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the town was with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, don't cry. Then he went up and he touched the coffin, and those carrying it stood still. He said, young man, I say to you, get up. Now, when Jesus says to a person who was dead to get up, what do you think that person's going to do? It's going to get up. Jesus spoke the world into existence. He spoke us into our reality. We're not just a coincidence. We're not junk. God knew us before we were born. He knew the exact time and places in which we would live, as scripture says. And Jesus is right there. Young man, I say to you, get up. And the dead man sat up and began to talk. And Jesus gave him back to his mother. And then they were all filled with awe and praised God. A great prophet has appeared among us, they said. God has come to help his people. And this news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding country. Really an amazing story that is told. And throughout the scriptures, we find these things happening over and over again. He had a way of just comforting the confronted. In Luke 7, 11, 17, you have to read this with emotion. The horrible death, and then the exhilaration of life again. And let me suggest, that's going to happen to each and every one of us. We will die. And because of Christ, we will be raised. It says something even in our baptism. Buried in water, coming up out of the water, being in sin, forgiveness of sin. One day, all of us will be called together, where there will be no more mourning, No more crying, no more pain, no more death. For the old order of things has passed away. And you and I will experience all of that. Whoever wrote the book of Galatians, probably Paul, says the only thing that counts is faith, expressing itself in love. There is emotion. So Jesus had a way of comforting those people who were being confronted. But I would be remiss if I also didn't share that Jesus had a way of correcting people. He had a way, although it was seldom, of confronting the comfortable. Yes, Jesus brought comfort to the confronted, but he also, on occasion, would confront others who felt too comfortable in their own skin, and they were not representing God well. Even though they may have been religious, and they would call themselves religious, they were not honoring God well. So Luke chapter 11, beginning in verse 37, is a fairly familiar passage. I read this very early this morning, and I found it to be powerful because I wasn't reading it to preach. I was reading it to put it into, what if I live back there? What if I was hearing Jesus say these words? What if I belonged to the house of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, who understood Scripture, spent a lot of time in Scripture, but they had their way of understanding Scripture? And if you weren't agreeing with them, or they're not agreeing with you, it wouldn't go well. And so in this story, it's a powerful story. It was confronting people who felt comfortable in their own skin. I'm going to start reading in verse 37. When Jesus had finished preaching, speaking, a Pharisee invited him to eat with him. So he went in, and I love this statement, he reclined at the table. Maybe you've understood this. Maybe you've had this. Maybe you've had someone into your home that you didn't know very well, or you were invited into someone's home very well, and you just kind of watch to see, you know, how do we do this now? And I always, when I was especially younger, got a bit nervous if there was more than one spoon on one side. I wasn't sure what I was supposed to do with that. You know, and then you go into someone's home and it's all a bit different. Well, this is really a unique story. It's not unknown, but with that thought, just let's go with it. Starting in 37. When Jesus had finished speaking, Pharisee invited him to eat with him. So he went in and he reclined at the table. But the Pharisee, noticing that Jesus did not first wash before the meal, was surprised. Now, that doesn't mean turning on the tap and washing with soap. There was a ceremonial way in which you were to wash. Hands in water, dripping up, to say that you are unclean. Well, the Pharisee noticed that Jesus didn't do that. Then the Lord said to him, "Now then, you Pharisees, clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside you are full of greed and wickedness." That's uncomfortable. "You foolish people, did not the one who made the outside make the inside also? But give what is inside the dish to the poor, and everything will be clean for you. Woe to you, Pharisees, because you give God a tenth of your mint, rue, and all other kinds of herbs, but you neglect justice and the love of God. You should have practiced the latter without leaving the former undone. Woe to you, Pharisees, because you love the most important seats in the synagogue and greetings in the marketplaces. Woe to you, because you are like unmarked graves, which men walk over without knowing it. One of the experts in the law answered him, "Teacher, when you say these things, you insult us also." And it's almost as Jesus is saying, "Yep, you're right. I am insulting you." Jesus said, "And you experts in the law, woe to you, because you load people down with burdens they can hardly carry, and you yourselves will not lift one finger to help them. Woe to you, because you build tombs for the prophets, and it was your forefathers who killed them. So you testify that you approve of what your forefathers did. They killed the prophets, and you build their tombs. Because of this, God in his wisdom said, I will send them prophets and apostles, some of whom they will kill, and others they will persecute. Therefore, this generation will be held responsible for the blood of all the prophets that has been shed since the beginning of the world, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who was killed between the altar and the sanctuary. Yes, I tell you, this generation will be held responsible for all of it. Woe to you, experts in the law, because you've taken away the key to knowledge. You yourselves have not entered, and you have hindered those who are entering. And then it says, when Jesus left there, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law began to oppose him fiercely and to besiege him with questions, waiting to catch him in something he might say. It's uncomfortable to read those words. Jesus, when we read the scriptures, he comforts people who are being confronted. Have you ever had a time in your life when you just didn't know what to do? You were hurting. You were overwhelmed. You were burdened. You're sad and you're crying. And you just pour it out to God. Let me suggest that's one of the very best things we can do. Does God hear us? Does God see us? Does God's Holy Spirit live in us? I sometimes think God might be saying to me, "Donnie, wake up. I'm here with you every second of the day. Wake up. You don't have to make all these decisions, whatever they are, on your own. You can always talk to me." It was true then. It's true today. And won't it be unique when one day we'll see him face to face and have whatever conversation we want to have. But we don't have to wait. We can do that now. Talk to him. Know him. See how he responds to you. See how people come into your life that you never knew and have helped you to better your life. It's all of God who does all of this for us. So Jesus had a way of sometimes confronting the comfortable. And in John chapter 3, verses 1 through 17, we have this unique story that you know very, very well. John 3, 1 through 17. I'm going to skip a couple of things, but I think this is worthwhile. "Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council, and he came to Jesus at night and said, 'Rabbi, we know you are a teacher that has come from God. For no one can perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him.' In reply, Jesus declared, 'I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he's born again.' And because they're thinking in physical terms, 'How can a man be born when he's old?' Nicodemus said, 'Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born.' And Jesus answered, 'I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he's born of water and spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh and spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you can't tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the spirit. How can this be? Nicodemus asked. Jesus said, you're Israel's teacher, and you do not understand these things? I tell you the truth, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, but still, you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you did not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of God, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert. Well, let's read that. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert. How many remember that story? Truly a unique story. Maybe I can share this with you. Numbers 21, starting in verse 4. They traveled from Mount Hor along the route to the Red Sea to go around Edom. But the people grew impatient on the way. They spoke against God and against Moses and said, why have you brought us up to Egypt to die in the desert? There is no bread, exclamation point. There is no water, exclamation point. And we detest this miserable food. Then the Lord sent venomous snakes among them. Yuck. They bit the people, and many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, we have sinned when we spoke against the Lord and against you. Pray that the Lord will take the snakes away from us. So Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, make a snake, and put it up on a pole. Anyone who is bitten can look at it and live. So Moses made a bronze snake and put it up on a pole. Then when anyone was bitten by a snake, he looked at the bronze snake and he lived. My imagination just grabs me. Can you imagine one of your children running? I got bit by a snake. Go look at that snake, and you'll be fine. Go look at this, and you'll be fine. I had to think of what the writer of Hebrews said. Fix your eyes on Jesus, who is the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. It's still true today. He is our pioneer. He is our perfecter of our faith. And the encouragement that we have in this wonderful story back in John 3 is probably part of why so many people love John 3:16. I'm not so sure that we would know the context of John 3:16, but you do now. It has a lot to do with where are we? It's good to be comfortable. But it's not good to be so comfortable that we can never respond to someone who confronts us. We feel comfortable with our faith and that we share that faith. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son for each one of us, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Yeah, I think it's unique that Jesus had a way of comforting the confronted, and Jesus had a way of confronting the comfortable. And wherever you find yourself today, may we understand that we have a shepherd who still comforts us. And maybe on occasion, each one of us needs to be confronted so that we can get back to having that comfortable relationship with God, with Jesus, and with his Holy Spirit. May God's comfort be upon you, even as life confronts you. Amen.
Welcome to communion. Let's gather around the Lord's table. Let's recline at the Lord's table together today. Parenting is on my mind. It's often on my mind in the last couple of years because of toddler. And as of late, it's been more so on my mind because, and those of you who have experienced this may be able to identify with me, we are in the toilet training phase. And it's a joy. And it brings to mind some of the sacrifices of parenting. And as I am wont to do, because of my training and just my personality, I challenge the assumption on things. And when you make a decision, when you're in a doing a thing, you know, challenge the assumptions of why am I doing this? Is this really necessary? And so after a particularly difficult day of toilet training, you know, sit back and, is this really necessary? Do we really have to do this? And yeah, the long-term outcomes of not doing this, they're not desirable. This is really a thing that we kind of have to do. We don't really have a choice. But God sent his son. We quoted the scripture today. God sent his only son. He gave his only son. He chose to give us his only son. He didn't have a choice. He did have a choice. That's backwards. He willingly gave his son for us, as opposed to us, and we don't really have a choice with our child's toilet training. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son for us so that we might live. As we think about that choice that was freely given for us today, we think of the benefits of that choice. Hopefully, Ellis in the future will be thankful for the benefits of what we've done for him. Some of you may have experience with that, we think of those benefits. We think of that, the blessing that we've received. Today, as we gather around the table, let's remember that choice that was made for us, that choice that was willingly given for us, as we think of that blood that was spilt for us and the bread that, or the body that was broken for us and the blood that was spilt for us. And also, let's remember to live like a people who have accepted that free choice. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for all you've given us and all you've blessed us with. Thank you for this. Thank you for this fruit of the vine, this bread that you've given to us. Thank you for your son that you have given for us. Help us to partake in a manner that is worthy of you. Help us to live as a people who have remembered that choice that you have given for us. Help us to be truly your sons and daughters. In Jesus' name, amen.
In 1985, at the age of 33, I had some symptoms that were concerning. I went to my physician, and the first thing that he said to me after I described my condition was, "Is there cancer in your family?" I was really shocked. I said, "No, not to my knowledge." Sent me for tests. And the tests were really had to wait 2 weeks for the results. During that 2 weeks, it was my son Matthew's kindergarten Christmas concert. I went to the concert, I'm sitting there, and I'm looking up there, and Matthew is looking out at the audience, and he's looking for who? He's looking for his parents so he can wave, you know, the things kids do. And it hit me, what would happen if he was looking out and I wasn't there? I think it was the first time in my life that I really felt vulnerable. I felt like, you know what, my life could end. Well, I'm before you now at 68 years old. It obviously didn't take my life. The results came back clean, hopefully. But it brings the point, you know, Don said today, we're all going to die. And this is true. And I think the older I get, the more I think about what those circumstances are going to be like. And I don't know, and we can't pick them. With that introduction, I would like to read a letter from Jim and Gloria. Dear church family, for those of you who have not heard, Gloria Perry Lamont's cancer is metastasized in her liver, and more urgently concerning, a mass in and around the bowels caused a partial bowel obstruction. Without treatment, prognosis could possibly be a few months, with treatment possibly up to a couple of years if it works and is tolerated. However, if a complete obstruction occurs, which is inevitable without treatment, an unpleasant death could happen in 1 to 3 weeks. She has agreed to try chemo and is on liquids only. Please pray with and for us as we walk this journey of uncertainty, wanting desperately to have peace and the joy of the Lord as our strength, Jesus' love, and never leaving us is our only certainty. With love, Jim and Gloria. Email, texts, phone calls are appreciated a lot. Energy may not be enough to respond. So we hold Gloria and Jim in our prayers, as we have for many, many people in the past. But we have this confidence that's been talked about this morning, that we can have peace and even joy in these situations, because as Jesus was given to have life, and he was given to have death, this death brings us peace and joy as we face these circumstances and as we face our own mortality. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we are grateful to you that you have made a way for us. This way in Jesus Christ, this Son that you gave willingly to come to this earth, and he was willing to come to this earth to pay this price for us. What price? His death, an agonizing death, humiliation, hatred that was shown to him by so many. But he bore it all for us. And as surely as he died, he was resurrected, and as surely as we die, we'll be resurrected too. Because of Jesus. We pray, Father, for Jim and Gloria in this time. We pray that they might enter into this with a hope and assurance that you are with them and that you love them and you care for them no matter what the pain, no matter what the hardship seems to be. That they might bear up under your love, and that they might receive the results of whatever happens. We're thankful for them. We're thankful for their example of love in their marriage and the example that they have been to us in terms of their faith. And we pray, Father, that you be with them and bless them at this time. And bless all of us, Father, as we think and reflect on our own life and the meaning of it. And for the days that we have, we pray that we might bring honor and glory to you, and that we might care for each other in love, and that we might reach out to our neighbors with love. With the name of Jesus, the Savior of the world. And it is through his name that we pray. Jesus the Christ, the Redeemer, the one who gave his life for us. Amen.
Thanks for watching or listening. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. We are currently holding in-person services following provincial COVID-19 regulations. If you would like to be part of the videos but aren't comfortable joining us in person, you can send us a video. Get in touch via email or on Facebook for more details. Scripture quotations marked NIV, taken from the Holy Bible, New International Version, NIV. Copyright 2011 by Biblica, Inc. Used by permission, all rights reserved, worldwide. You can find out more about the congregation on our Facebook page or at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.